Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
When you come to the book of Deuteronomy, in this book you have a second giving of the law, or better, a new expounding of it to a new generation of Israel who had grown up in the wilderness. It is not the giving of a new law, but it is an explaining or a giving in detail of what already exists. Now, let me just say this in passing. We don't need something new today. What we got still works. Somebody say amen. Every once in a while, we just need it reiterated to us what it is. So when you come into this book, you'll find that the central message of the book of Deuteronomy, and you need to remember this because I'm going to come back to it. The central message is this: obedience to the Lord and being obedient to God. Look what he said. Now we're going to use our Bible extensively here in the book of Deuteronomy. Look in chapter number 4. Let's look what he says. Chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Can I just make a practical application out of that verse tonight? We don't need to add anything to this book. We don't need to take anything away from this book. It's whole. It's solid. It don't need correcting. It don't need updating. The English in it don't need changing. The grammatical things in it don't need changing. It's right. Leave it alone. Read it and apply it to your life, and God will bless you. Amen. Now, it's just your practical application of that verse. What he's saying to them is this: obey what it says. Obey what it says. You know, a lot of times, here's what we want to do. We want to read a verse, then we want to find some way around it. Well, does it really mean that? I'm reminded of what Brother Milton Taylor says. The Word of God says what it means. It means what it says. Amen. Look on into verse number 9. The Bible said this in chapter number 4, verse number 9. "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons." So what he is saying is this: you need to live an obedient life unto the Lord. Now, there's some basic facts here in it. Go with me to chapter number 6. Chapter number 6, and look in verse number 4. In verse number 5, the Bible said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Can I just say this to you tonight? That still needs to be true today. Matter of fact, Jesus affirmed that basic truth in Matthew chapter number 22, and practically repeats this, that we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You know what that means? It simply means this: that he is to be preeminent in our life. He is to be preeminent. He's not only to be Savior, he's to be Lord. A lot of people is interested in Jesus being their Savior. They don't want to die and go to hell. They don't want to suffer the wrath of him. But not many are interested in him being Lord of their life. You see, it's different for him to be your Savior and him to be your Lord. When he's Lord of your life, you are a servant to him, and you love him with all thy soul, with all thine heart, and with all thy might. Now look what he said in chapter number 6, verse number 23. "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Watch this. He brought us out. We see the power of God. That he might bring us in, we see the grace of God, which he sware unto our fathers. We see the faithfulness of God. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you could preach an hour right there just on that. But here is exactly what God done. God brought us out to bring us in. When we separate from something, we separate to something. Can I say that again? God brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out of the condemnation of sin to bring us into fellowship with him. Amen. You see, with sin in our life, we can't have fellowship with him. And what he is saying is, I brought you out of the bondage of Egypt, the bondage of this world. Hear me and hear me well. Christianity is not bondage today. Being saved and separated from this world is not bondage today. It is freedom today. And God brought us out of bondage to bring us into fellowship with him. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He has delivered us from the bondage of sin, and now we walk in fellowship with him. Now look in chapter number 10. There is a basic requirement that is given. Chapter number 10. Let me read you a couple verses right here. Chapter number 10. We're going to look at verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. You know what he said? He said, I'm giving you some commandments. I'm giving you some statutes. I'm giving you, now here's a word we don't like to use, but I'm giving you some rules for your good. I'm laying these things down for your good. Why do we set, and if you don't, you should, why do we set a perimeter for our children? Why do we lay down some rules in our home for our children? Here's the reason why. It's for their good. Train up a child in the way they should go. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that we just let them run around like a bunch of Comanche Indians. That's not, no, he said that we are to train them. Why do we train them? It is for their good. Brother Jonathan's sitting back there tonight, and he's been in law enforcement for about 45 or 46 years. And part of his position now, because he's been there so long, is he trains people. Why does he say, here is our policies and our procedures, here is our guidelines, here is our rules, here is our regulations? It is for their good and for their safety. And what he is saying is this: God has laid out some statutes. God has laid out some quote unquote rules, and they are for our good. That's what they are for. Now, obedience, I said this, obedience is the central theme of this book. Obedience is where it's at. And being obedient to the Lord. You remember the old song, obedience is. Anybody ever heard it? The very best way to know that you believe. And then he goes on to say, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way. You know what? Every time I write the word obedience, I sing it. O-B-E-D. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to start singing some other words, I guess, so I'll know how to spell them. But anyway, obedience tonight. Obedience. I wrote this down. Listen to what I'm fixing to say. I'm headed somewhere on obedience. I wrote this down. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. Partial obedience to God is complete disobedience. A lot of times we don't put the emphasis on obedience that needs to be on obedience. Being obedient to the Lord. What He says do, what His Word says do, whether we agree with it or whether we don't, it's still His Word and we are to do it. Amen. I thought about this. Deuteronomy is the closing. As you read through it, and if you read through it this week, and if you've read through it before, and you that knows your Bible, it is the closing of the life of Moses, is what the book of Deuteronomy is. Moses dies off the scene, and Joshua, Brother Josh, steps on the scene and begins to lead the nation of Israel. God has brought Moses out and trained him and put him in the place to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into Canaan's land. Let me tell you something about Canaan's land. We'll talk about it more. Canaan's land is not a picture of heaven. You say, well, preacher, I'm sorry, but you're wrong on that. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. Is there going to be a battle in heaven? Is there going to be sin in heaven? Is there going to be death in heaven? Absolutely not. Well, guess what's in Canaan? There's a battle in Canaan. There's death in Canaan. There's the giants of the Anakims that's in Canaan. And Caleb, that's where he went after, even being old in age. He said, give me the mountain. So Canaan land is a picture of living a victorious Christian life and walking in fellowship with the Lord and drinking the milk and honey that God provides to us. Now, God had that for Moses. The whole point of Moses was to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt's land and lead them into Canaan's land. Not to the edge of it, but into Canaan. Now, I want you to read something. Go to chapter 34, and this is the thought I've got for us. Now, I don't have an outline. I've tried my best to outline it for 2 days. I don't have an outline. I got a thought. I'll give it to you. We'll pray and go home. Deuteronomy 34, verse number 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the south and the plain of all the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. Now look at verse number 4. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thee. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes. Now look up here just a second. God takes Moses on the mountain and shows him Canaan's land. Shows him Canaan's land. Now we can talk all about Canaan's land. We can talk about the grapes. And I remember Brother Noah Fry, if I'm not mistaken, it was him, used to say that the grapes were so big in Canaan that they would take the good part out of the middle and take the whole of the grape and wear it as a shower cap whenever they went to take a shower. They were so big. Boy, whenever you think about when Joshua and Caleb come back and said, we're well able to possess this land, all the beauties, all the things of Canaan's land. God takes Moses that he is trained and dedicated and set apart to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, he did, through the desert, into Canaan's land. And now here he stands looking at what for over 40 years he said, we're going to. And I'm going to tell you something. The closing of verse number 4 is some of the most sobering words that I've ever read in my Bible. Look what he says. But thou shalt not go over thither. Have you ever thought about that? He took him up there, Brother Josh, and he said, look at this. Matter of fact, if you'll study those names out, he looks to the east, to the west, the north, and the south. He looks at every bit of God, shows him all of it. And then he says this, but you can't go in. But you can't go in. I thought about this. I wrote this down in my Bible. If God gave a glimpse of what could have been, what would be revealed to you? If God gave you a glimpse of what you could have done for God, I wonder what we would see. I wonder what we would see. Why did Moses not get to go in? Man, here he is. Here he is at the ending of his life. Everything he had, can I just bring it in our dispensation? Everything that he had preached for. Hey, here's where we're going. Man, there's a better land ahead. There's a victorious land ahead. We don't have to live in the desert. And God takes him up there and shows it to him. But he don't let him go in. My daddy said this. I've talked to my dad so much the past 2 or 3 days about this passage. And he said, son, I know God don't make no mistakes. But I really don't understand in my flesh why he didn't let him go in. Why didn't God let Moses go in? Go with me to Numbers chapter number 20. Numbers chapter number 20. I told you we was going to use our Bible for a few minutes. Numbers chapter number 20, and I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we should, or that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. The Bible said in verse number 6, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Now let me just say something. When God shows up, you better listen to him. You better listen to him real good. Can I just say that? Look in verse number 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Now let me just say something else. You better know what the voice of the Lord is. And you better learn how to discern the voice of the Lord from the voice of the people. Can I say that again? Learn to discern the voice of the Lord from the voice of the people. Verse number 8. Here's what God said to him. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. If you underline in your Bible, I invite you to underline, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. You think I preach rough every once in a while? He said, hey, you bunch of rebels, listen up. Time out. Moses is angry. Moses, in all honesty, needed to step back. I'm not critiquing Moses, but I'm just telling you, he needed to step back and take a deep breath. Can I just say this about a leader? A leader and leaders are to be proactive instead of reactive. Can I just say that again? Leaders are to be proactive. You know what that word proactive means? It means this: control an expected occurrence, especially a negative or a challenging one. Moses, this happening to Moses is not the first time. Ever since they crossed the Red Sea and got in the desert, before they crossed over, I mean, ever since they came out of Egypt, before they crossed over the Red Sea, the people's been murmuring against him. He knows that. Over and over and over, they've murmured against him and murmured against him. And what does a good leader do? He is proactive instead of reactive. Moses should have took control of the situation, but he says, "You bunch of rebels, listen to me." He's mad. Look what he says. "Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Now watch what happens. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod, he smote the rock twice. Moses done exactly opposite of what God told him to do. Remember what I told you the main theme of the book of Deuteronomy is? It's obedience. And God closes the book of Deuteronomy showing us what disobedience to God will bring in your life. Moses, the reason he didn't get to go to Canaan's land, the reason he didn't get to live that complete victorious Christian life, is because Moses disobeyed the Lord. God told him to speak to the rock, and he smote the rock twice. You mean to, we know that he had already smote the rock, and now he does it again twice. And you that knows the Bible knows that rock was to be in typology a picture of Jesus Christ being smitten on Calvary. He was never smitten but one time. So Moses, when he disobeyed God, in our little mind, we're saying this: "Oh, it's just something small. He just hit it instead of talk to it." No, he messed up the picture of Calvary right there. You know what God said? "Because of your disobedience, I'm going to let you look at what you could have had, but you didn't get." Watch this. He goes on. It says in verse number 12, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Well, I wonder how Moses felt right then. Could you imagine? I wonder how Moses felt right then. Go to chapter 27, Numbers with me. Chapter number 27. Let's walk through a few verses right here. Chapter number 27. I don't have these marked. It'll take me a minute to get there. Chapter 27, verse number 12. And I'm going to read as I get there. "And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into the mount of Abram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto the people, and Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that it is the water of Meriboth and Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin." Go with me to chapter number one of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number one. Look in verse 37. The Bible said this: "Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shall not go in thither." He's talking to Moses, chapter number 3, verse number 25. The Bible said this: "I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sake, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more, unto this matter. Chapter number 31. Go to chapter number 31 with me. Chapter number 31, verse number 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Chapter 32, verse 51. Chapter 32, verse 51. The Bible said this, because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel and the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. Then again, in chapter number 34, verse number 4, he allows him to see what he could have had if he had only been obedient to God. You see, the reason he didn't get to go into Canaan, it was the consequence of his sin. A lot of people says it was the chastisement of God. No, it was the consequence. You see, we get chastisement and consequences mixed up. If Madeline, she's almost 21 years old now, so let me give an illustration of Victoria. I guess I could still chastise Madeline, beat the devil out of her, but it'd take a lot of beating. But anyway, if I tell Victoria don't do this and she does it anyway, then I'm going to correct her for that. If Victoria goes and stands up on top of a table and she knows if she jumps off of that table, she's going to get hurt. But she chooses herself to jump off of that table and get hurt and breaks her leg and we go to Brenner's, that was not chastisement from me. That was consequences for the choice she made. This right here is consequences for the choice that Moses made. Moses made the choice to not listen to what God told him to do, and he allowed the voice of others to get in his head, and he went against what God told him to do. And the consequence of that was he missed out on God's best for his life. Now, I want to ask you this question. If we was at the end of our life tonight, and we knew Moses is fixing to die, Joshua is fixing to take over, the voice of the Lord spoke to Moses to this time. We go into the book of Joshua. He begins to speak to Joshua. And there's so much practical things that we can bring out right there about God talking to the pastor and leadership. But anyway, watch this. If we knew that at 10 o'clock tonight, our life was going to end, and God pulled us to the side and said, I'm going to let you see what you could have had if you'd have only fully obeyed me, I wonder what we would see. I wonder what we would see. So many times, listen to me. I am all for having a good time. Man, I'm all for it. I'm all for spending time with your family. You'll never find a more family person than I am. I am all for spending time with our family. I am all for you taking time away with your family. I'm realizing this very quick, Brother Brian. You don't have them but so long, and then they're gone. I'm all for it. I love to watch baseball. I really do. I enjoy watching baseball. And I do. I guess it's probably besides UFC, one of my favorite things to watch. And UFC's become so ungodly, you can't watch it, and baseball's become so ungodly, just about you can't about watch anything besides the Rifleman anymore. I love watching basketball. I care less about watching football. It makes absolutely no sense to me. I've watched one complete football game in my life, and the only reason I watched it is because I got a free ticket to sit on the 8-yard line, at the 50-yard line, or at the 8-yard line. Out on the 8th row on the bottom level at the 50-yard line at the Panther Stadium right after they opened it. It was some most miserable time of my life. Oh, that just makes no sense. You grab a ball, you throw it, and everybody piles on top of you. And then they complain because their knees hurt and their back hurt. Oh, well, you dummy. I mean, here's your sign. It don't make a lick of sense to me. There's nothing wrong with activities. There's nothing wrong with playing ball. There's nothing wrong with going on vacation. Are you hearing me tonight? There's nothing wrong with it. Here before long, our family will be gone on vacation for a week, and I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. We're going in the middle of nowhere where there's a cabin at. Thank God. I'm not going to some place that's 900 degrees and sand everywhere, and you feel dirty the whole time you're there. I'm going to the mountains. And you say, what are you going to do? I'm going to hike. I'm going to go to waterfalls. And I'm looking forward to it. Man, I'm excited about it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you, we get our priorities mixed up so many times. Let me tell you what's going to matter at the end of this thing. What we've done for God. What we've done for Him. Let me tell you what's going to matter about my children when I stand before God. Did I raise them in the admonition of God's Word? Did I teach them faithfulness? Did I teach them that Jesus was just not our Savior, but He was our Lord? Can somebody give me an amen right there? Did I train them that the house of God was the most important thing and our relationship with Him was the most important thing? Anybody hearing the preacher tonight? That's what's going to matter at the end of this thing. And a lot of times we think this, well, little things really don't matter to a lot of people. Watch this. Water. That's pretty little. That or water come forth. To us, Brother Ramsey, that's not a big deal. But it was huge to God. And because Moses did this, instead of speaking, he missed the very best God had for him. If we could see, Miss Courtney, you care to start playing something? If we could see, if we knew at 10 o'clock we was dying tonight, and God let us see what we could have had. Wonder what we'd see. I walked around today. I'd been reading some stuff on leadership, and Ryan was talking about how a leader always has a vision. If he loses his vision, he's not taking the people he's leading nowhere. I walked around today, Brother Ramsey. The Lord's been good. Can I just say that? He's been good. He's been real good. But I wonder if we've missed out on some things. Because we lacked in full obedience to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. A sobering thought is this. If you could see what you could have had, what would you see? He stood there, Brother Ted, and he saw all that he could have had. Maybe it's not hitting you the way it's hit me this week. But preacher, we just need to be satisfied, put things on cruise control, and just be satisfied. Only problem with that's not scriptural. Preacher, why are you pushing still to knock on doors? Preacher, why are you pushing still for visitation? Preacher, why are you pushing still to support missionaries? Preacher, when do we come to a place where we're just content? When it comes to growth and the service of God and our relationship with God, we need to understand context when he says, be content with such things as we have. That does not contradict to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
That's right.
Boy, I'd see a lot today, I'm afraid. But here's what I prayed. At about 5:45 this evening, standing up there on the side of at the very edge of our property line. God, from today forward, God, help me not to have partial obedience. God, when I get to heaven, God, if you give me a glimpse back into what I could have had, I know I'll see some things prior to now. But God, from today forward, help me put it all in. Help me give it all. One little thing was all he missed out on. You better know the voice of God. Can I just reiterate that for a minute? You better know it's the voice of God. And when he talks to you, when he leads you, when he guides you, you better listen to him and be obedient to him. And let me just say this. When you're making sure it's him, it's not disobedient. When you're saying, God, I don't want to miss it. God, confirm this in my heart. God, show me for sure this is what's right. That's not disobedience. That's being obedient to him. But when he speaks, you better do as he says. What would we see if God let us see what we could have had if we'd have just been obedient?